Welcome to The Positive Twist, a podcast about dystonia. I'm your host, Amanda Benson, and in each episode, I will be interviewing patients, caregivers, and experts who tell their story related to dystonia. Each story ending in, you guessed it, a positive twist. Thank you for tuning in. Now, let's roll the episode. Hello, and welcome to The Positive Twist, a podcast all about dystonia, the third most common neurological disorder. In each episode, we will meet with an expert, a patient, or a loved one of a patient, and they will tell their stories or talk about their expertise on the subject matter. I'm your host, Amanda, and in each episode, I will be talking to these guests. We'll hear their stories, each of them ending in, you guessed it, a positive twist. So I'm excited to introduce to you our first guest on the show, none other than Monica Benson, the Executive Director of Dystonia Europe. Monica, welcome.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, it's very lovely to have you here. So I thought that in the name of the show where we have guests on, we would love to learn more about you. Why don't you tell a little bit about yourself and your background and the work that you do for Dystonia Europe?
So my name is Monica and I come from Sweden. Like you said, I am the executive director of Dystonia Europe. And Dystonia Europe is the umbrella organization for 22 national dystonia associations in Europe. I am a dystonia patient myself. I have had dystonia for about 19 years, and I have cervical dystonia.
Well, thank you for telling us a little bit about your condition and what your role is at Dystonia Europe. So, you know, I'm really curious to hear your personal story. You said you were diagnosed in the early 2000s. When did you first start noticing that something was off and something was different?
So it was a few months before my 40th birthday. I was working at an office at a school in Sweden. One day I started to feel that my neck was pulling to the left. And since I was working on a computer a lot, I was thinking that maybe I have strained a muscle, maybe I have been sitting in an awkward position. I tried to relax my muscles myself and to do some exercises that I thought myself was good. But then it didn't work out, so I went to a doctor. She said to me that I should be on a sickness leave. She thought that it was something more than just a strained muscle. And a few months later, this doctor referred me to a neurologist, and I was diagnosed with dystonia.
Wow. And so how long was that whole process of receiving the correct diagnosis?
So from the first symptoms, I think it took about 6 months. So it was actually quite fast, if you think about it, because there are, unfortunately, a lot of dystonia patients who wait for many years before they have the correct diagnosis. But I live very close to a university hospital. And my family doctor, I think she already knew a little bit about neurological conditions and dystonia. I'm very happy that she could see that there was something neurological and she referred me to a specialist. And the first day I saw the specialist and I walked into his room, he looked at me and his first comment was, "You have dystonia." So he didn't even have to examine me. He could see it on my neck and the way I was walking.
Well, that's really great to hear because from what I understand, it is very common to live with dystonia for a long time and not know that that is in fact the condition that you are suffering from. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. And I hear many stories from other dystonia patients and they wait for many years and they are referred to different kinds of specialists, psychologists, psychiatrists, that don't know anything about dystonia, and that's why they have to wait a long time before correct diagnosis.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate to hear, but as I understand too, that is one of the things that you are working very hard on as a part of the Dystonia Europe group of experts and members, to erase the stigma, to promote research, and just spread information about dystonia.
Yes, it's one of our main goals in Dystonia Europe, to spread information and to raise awareness of dystonia, so that we increase the knowledge of dystonia, not only among the public, but also among the medical profession, so that when there is a patient, a dystonia patient coming to her family, her family doctor, that doctor might know a little bit about dystonia and refer the patient to a specialist.
Yeah, I see how that's really important. Is not everyone has to be an expert, but they need to be able to direct the patient in, you know, to the right person who can in fact diagnose them and start a treatment plan. So that leads me to my next question for you. What did your original treatment plan look like? And are you still under care?
Yes. So just maybe 2 months after I saw this neurologist, I started treatment with botulinum toxin injections in the affected muscles. And I have these injections about every 3 months. A few years after those first injections, because I felt like it didn't really help in the beginning. But that's also because you need to find the right dosage and you need to find the correct muscles. And it really takes a few times before you feel that it's working. But I think for me, the successful part of my treatment was when I started the combination treatment, when I had botulinum toxin injections together with physiotherapy, special exercises for dystonia patients.
So you are seeing a physiotherapist who is also specialized in dystonia. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
And is this something that is common? Do you think a lot of our listeners have access to physiotherapy and experts who, in fact, are specialists in dystonia or know how to treat dystonia?
No, there is also a big lack of physiotherapists knowing enough about dystonia and how to treat dystonia patients across Europe and I guess internationally. So that's also something that we are working on, how to increase knowledge among physiotherapists about dystonia.
The work that Dystonia Europe is doing is very important. Is there anything else that you want to lift in terms of your role in the organization or what you're really passionate about in terms of the work that you do for Dystonia Europe?
No, I do think this thing of raising awareness for dystonia to increase the knowledge about what dystonia is really the most important. And if we can create different kinds of awareness material from Dystonia Europe, for example, videos, we can have different kinds of awareness campaigns. And if that can reach out to people, and if it's only one or two people who are helped by that, I think that's a success.
Yes, and it's amazing the time that we live in where things can be so easily shared online, not only within Europe, but across the world. Mm-hmm. So we don't know. We might have listeners from all over, and everybody's welcomed here, even if it's a podcast produced by Dystonia Europe. So just ending on your role for Dystonia Europe, what does your job look like as the executive director? So like your specific role in the organization, what do you do and what do you bring?
I'm in contact with a lot of patients, a lot of dystonia patient leaders across Europe. Sometimes I go to their meetings. I learn about their activities and what they're doing in the different countries. Some of these activities we can share with other countries, and similar projects can be done in another country. I also get to connect with researchers, which is very important and very interesting, to learn about the latest research, and then to let our members and followers know about what is going on within research and development. In Dystonia Europe, we are also working together with the pharmaceutical and the medical device industry on different projects. It can be awareness, it can be research, it can be different kinds of development projects. And that's a very, very important job for us as well.
Okay, so I understand that your role is really to be kind of a facilitator and a communicator among all these different parts of the organization.
Yeah, you can say like that.
And then fundraising. So where does Dystonia Europe get their money from? How do you operate this organization?
So we have our 22 member organizations who pay a small membership fee. And then we have different partnerships with the pharmaceutical and medical device companies. And sometimes for certain projects, we receive funding from foundations. And also sometimes we have received funding from some EU organizations.
Great. Is there anything that any of our listeners can do to help support Dystonia Europe, financial or otherwise?
Yes, I think everybody can do something, even if it's a little thing, it can mean a lot. And it can be just by following us on social media, sharing some of our posts among your network and friends so that we raise the awareness of Dystonia. You can also become a member of a National Dystonia Association. That can be a big support to that association. You can take part in a local network when they have a meeting, and just to go and see what it's like and have a coffee with other dystonia patients and family members.
Great. What has the organization meant for you, just more on a personal level?
Oh, for me, the work for Dystonia and within Dystonia Europe, and also when I was involved in the Swedish Dystonia Association as a board member, I usually say that it's part of my treatment, part of my managing my dystonia, because I got dystonia and I was devastated. It was something that I just wanted to get rid of. I thought it was terrible, but in some ways, I could turn it around, and I could use it, and I could help others who are in the same situation by looking back at the things I was going through. And I have been able to meet so many people from all over the world who have dystonia, which is quite amazing, because when I had dystonia, I thought I was the only person in the whole world with a twisted neck. There could not be anybody else that looked like that. And now I feel like I have dystonia family in Australia, in the US, all over Europe, in Russia.
It sounds like it has actually rather expanded your community and network of friends rather than limited you.
Yes. The first few years I felt isolated, but now I feel really like I'm part of a global dystonia family.
Well, that sounds like a good reason to join your national network, or perhaps consider checking out Dystonia Europe.
Absolutely. I can recommend it as a good treatment.
Okay, Monica, so it sounds like living with dystonia hasn't been all bad for you.
Yeah.
What has been your positive takeaway from this experience of now living with a chronic condition like dystonia for 20 years?
Yeah, it's very strange, because when I had dystonia, I felt like, oh, this is terrible. I don't want to have this. I want to get well as soon as possible. And of course, I still would like to not to have dystonia. I would like there to be a cure. But at the same time, I don't want to be without this part of my life, these years that I have had since I had dystonia, because It actually changed my life. I have a new job. I have met so many fantastic people that I wouldn't have met if I didn't have dystonia. I have colleagues and friends all over the world, and we're working for the same goal, to help other people who are affected by dystonia. I'm very, very happy the way things are. Of course, I will keep working to improve the situation for dystonia patients. Dystonia has become my friend.
Wow, that's a great way to see it. I think your story and your message can be very inspiring to people living with dystonia, especially those who are maybe newly diagnosed. So just to sum up our interview today, I heard you talk about the importance of finding a doctor who can, in fact, give you the right diagnosis, not to give up until you get in front of the right people. I heard you talk about different treatment options and not to disregard physiotherapy, because for you, that was something that was very important in combination with botulinum toxin. Joining a community, whether that be online or getting in contact with your local network or Dystonia Europe. They have similar organizations around the world, and how that can really help. And then I like the last thing you said, becoming friends with your dystonia. There is no cure as of yet, but learning to cope in the best way possible and being a part of this community, and maybe even helping out with working towards spreading awareness and contributing to this cause, can in fact be a way to learn to live with dystonia as a friend. Monica, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. I think it's going to be greatly appreciated by the network. And I'm sure there are many of our listeners who know you personally from your work in Dystonia Europe. So that's it for today. Any last words?
I just also want to add something that I think has also been very important to me, is that my family and my closest friends have always been there to support me. And that's another thing I want to point out to the to other people with dystonia, that having that support network close to you, people that love you, that are there for you, it's so important.
Yes, that is a good point. And that is part of the reason for this podcast, is not only for patients living with dystonia, but perhaps for their caretakers, their family, their loved ones, their friends, to get a better understanding of what the diagnosis is all about and what it is like to live with this condition. So family and friends are very important too. Well, Monica, thank you so much. We
thank you.
We hope to have you back here sometime soon. And
I will be back.
Until then, good luck with all your work, and keep living well with dystonia.
Thank you, Amanda.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode was made possible by our supporting partners, Medtronic, Ipsen, and Boston Scientific, as well as our production company, The Rise Factory. Thank you again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe. We release a new episode on the fourth Wednesday of every month, and we hope to have you join us again next time. Until then, take care, and don't forget to live life with a positive twist.